Yeah, I think it's something, it's one of those things, like you said, that of course I'm going to pray for my kids, but then I when I really sit down and think about it, I realize that I sort of take it for granted. And often my prayers sort of selfishly come in the form of, oh, help me to be a better mother, or help me to be more patient, or whatever. Or if when I'm pregnant, I do find that I just have this overwhelming urge to pray for the baby growing inside of me. There's this sign, this physical sign of this miracle, and I just don't take it for granted as much. Or if a child is going through a really particularly difficult situation where they, get sick or something emotional difficult or a big change. But I think the day-to-day praying is what I sometimes take for granted or get frustrated with. Like if I'm trying to pray for my children and then they come in and interrupt me and I turn into mommy monster or whatever, and certainly am not manifesting God as love itself. So I've tried over the years to sort of think of some creative ways to, first of all, look at prayer in a different light, and then also to make prayer happen in the busy life of in the trenches of crazy motherhood.
I remember when mine were infants, my prayer would be, Lord, please make them big and strong and smart and always be yours. And
Yeah,
that's
that's
something we can
beautiful.
continue to pray for them about. And then, that prayer of thankfulness kind of at the end of the day when you're in bed and have a chance to reflect a little bit before you pass out from having tiny children running around.
Yes.
But it's not always easy to remember that. But it's a great way to get back peace as a parent, isn't it?
Yes, and I think St. Paul has really helped me too on his approach for prayer when he tells the Thessalonians, to pray without ceasing and to always give thanks. I think that sometimes I think that there's only one perfect, right kind of prayer, like this beautiful contemplative prayer you admire, you think of, or always having time to go to adoration. And there's certainly seasons as a parent where you do have time for that. But right now, especially with so many families sort of hunkered down with the pandemic, and there's not as much time for that, and you can kind of want to throw in the towel and think, well, gosh, if I can't pray the way I want to, why even bother? And so I've tried to sort of rethink it, and every time I'm doing anything from making dinner for the family to cleaning up a mess, sometimes I even have to pause, like if something has really, really kind of irked me, like children fighting or a mess that was caused by flinging arms, not just an accidental where I've said, stop doing that, and they continue to do it, and then milk has flown all over the kitchen or whatever. I have to pause for a minute and just say, offer it up for my children and for them to grow up to be loving, good human beings, and to offer those moments up. And I've heard this before, but it's worth repeating, and it's something that I have found sort of beautiful is I fold a lot of laundry around here. And so as I'm folding a piece of laundry, whether it's my 3-year-old's tiny little socks or one of my teenagers' bigger shirts, seeing that they're outgrowing me, just praying for them in that moment. And that is, I find that folding laundry in and of itself is sort of meditative. And then to add that prayerful aspect to it can be a beautiful thing and pretty much a daily thing for me. And some of the other little things I do is I always trying to keep some sort of devotional or a small Bible in my car and purse. And right now we're not on the go quite as much, but I know that will change eventually. And I found that sometimes I would have like 5 minutes just sitting there in a carpool lane and I could pull something out and read it. Or if you like to listen to radio or listen to a rosary meditation on a CD, just having those things on hand in the car or in your purse, that can make it a little bit more possible. You just have to sort of get creative with the kind of prayer life that will work for you with whatever season you're at. And then, of course, praying with your children. You can pray, try and pray a rosary together, but if you can't even get that much out, just mealtime prayers and bedtime prayers. And if you are able to say a rosary, something that's beautiful is have each child lead a different mystery. And while they're praying, that mystery in your heart is being offered up for that child. And that, like you said, that they'll always belong to God. And, that's one of the toughest prayers as a mother. I think a lot of times we want to control the situation and just make everything perfect and inoculate our children against angst. And one of the most beautiful lessons I've learned as a motherhood is relinquishing control and knowing that I can never give up on my child, but many times I have to give them up to God. That it's not my job, or even if it was my job, it's not possible to completely control their decisions and to make sure their soul turns to Christ. I can only worry about my own soul and my own prayer life and praying for them. And a bit of hope I always give to parents too, though, is if the story doesn't have a happy ending, if you're struggling, and this comes more from not my current situation as a mom, but growing up in a family and seeing my mom really struggle with one of my siblings, and still to this day, the sibling just has had a lot of struggles. But seeing her have to relinquish control and just offer him up to God and sort of not live with this guilt that she did something wrong or this was her fault, and just know that he belongs to God and he loves her. He loves this child even more than she can imagine, which is, I mean, we love our children so much, and to try and grasp that God loves them even more can be really, really difficult. So seeing sort of that relinquish of control and that giving them up to God really taught me a lot. And my mom said it wasn't until she did that that she found peace in her heart, not necessarily peace with the situation, but peace in her heart when she sort of freed herself from thinking that she could change things and circumstances when the only one who can change hearts is the Holy Spirit and God.
Author and speaker Kate Wicker joining us this morning for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, taking a look at praying for our kids. He said a few things in there I really like, listening to the radio, of course, but praying while doing simple things like doing laundry is awesome. Little tangent, how about maybe especially if the kids get a little fussy sometimes and you have to call that community timeout and give them all a little quick opportunity for a necessary family meeting, but maybe that's the time or a different time to... And at the good times too, the quiet times, to pray for each other, getting the kids to pray for each other. Is that something you've tried?
You know, that's I hadn't thought about that, but that's a beautiful thing. What I have done is when things are getting crazy, sometimes I'll just say Hail Mary, kind of like you think of the football pass too, and everyone just says a quick Hail Mary. But I love that with sibling, because I will say, initially, when everything slowed down and all my kids' activities kind of went to a halt, we were really enjoying, and we still are enjoying the family time, but it was just such a gift. And I will say, as we've really been on top of each other for a long time now, I'm seeing a little more, and that's completely normal, sibling squabbles and just some fights. But telling them to pause, say, hey, wait a minute. One punishment I will do is their punishment is to actually be together peacefully for 5 minutes and find something to do and be kind to each other. So that is something I do. But also, I love that idea of encouraging them, hey, let's pause a moment and I want you to say a prayer for your sibling and you to say a prayer for your sibling and then reconnect and do something together and be kind. So I love that idea of sort of pausing and reconnecting and turning ourselves heavenward instead of griping and holding grudges and these things that can certainly go on in the sibling ecosystem, if you will.
You also mentioned, Kate, your mom kind of having an epiphany of realizing that, God loves our children more even than we do, and on their best of days. And that can help us get through, especially as they get older. And when we're kind of focusing on maybe praying for kids when they're little, but my goodness, when they're away at summer camp, when they're maybe away even at a boarding school, when they're away at college, and when they're on their own as adults, we never stop thinking about them, and we ought to continue to pray for them regularly.
Oh yeah, I think as, and I think I started to say that if the story doesn't have a happy ending, then that means it's not finished yet. We can't possibly, you look to Saint Monica, who never, she just kept praying and praying and praying, and her son was this wayward person who's now a great doctor of the church, So I think that you have to definitely just keep that perseverance in prayer. And I found what you said as my children get older, because when they are little, you are kind of like micromanagers. You know, you cut up their food. You can control and protect them to a greater extent. But as they're older, you have to begin to release them into the world to make their own decisions and to embrace personal accountability. They're no longer coming to church with you on Sundays. You're just hoping that they're choosing to do that on your own. So I feel that that's definitely a time where, as a mother and as a parent, fathers too, where you just have to turn to the Father more and just say, oh, you know, I and not so much turn it on, oh, I hope I did a good job. I hope I did a good job, because I think that's what we do a lot of times. But just turn it on, oh, please be there with my child and grant them the wisdom. And know that your children, just think back to your own youth and all the mistakes you made, that we will make mistakes, but that's not the end of the world. Sometimes we learn the most when we stray from the church, or when we do some things that are totally against anything we grew up with, the morals. We grow the most from that brokenness and end up ultimately becoming closer to God and becoming a better ambassador for Christ and for his love. So I think that that's definitely true, that, you know, I'm kind of in an interesting situation, because I still have the little ones that I'm sort of, especially Charlie, the 3-year-old, that I can micromanage. But I always say I become more of a consultant as the kids get older, you know, where I certainly don't want to micromanage everything. I have to let them make their decisions. I know our last discussion, we talked a lot about social media. And at that point, we had given my oldest permission to start an account. She's almost 16 and she had it. And then she told me, she said she was ready and she has started Instagram. She has not posted anything. And it's scary for me, but I also know she can be a beacon of good news. And so we've talked a lot about it, and I'm just praying constantly that she makes the right decision. And I also haven't just let her out. Like, her account is under my account, so I have complete access to it. And we limit the amount of time she by our phone. There's all these apps you can use. So we're slowly weaning her until the time she's 18, and, you know, she will most likely have much more control over those things. But sort of just teaching and praying all the way as you make these big decisions, that you're doing things right, and just that constant dialogue with God and keeping the door open with your child, where they can come to you and you will always be there to talk to them about difficult things and the things, you know, the difficult discussions and topics they have to face in this world. Because it's a whole new world with the digital age raising older children.
Certainly is. Kate Wicker, our guest on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. Praying for our kids brushes up against teaching them how to pray. In education, the saying, or the kind of the concept of the really little ones, they're learning to read, and then one day they're reading to learn. And we all need to get to that point to continue to learn that we can read on our own. How about any thoughts on, as we teach kids to pray, you know, they'll be praying because they're supposed to. Mom, Dad says we're supposed to pray now, and we're going to do it because everybody in the family is doing it now. But getting them to go beyond praying because they're supposed to, but because they see that is something that they want to do.
Yeah, one thing I've tried, and this is certainly sort of pushing something that's worked for me, but one thing I do try, especially with the older ones, to tell them about is that I love the beautiful tradition of prayer, the liturgy of the hours, all these beautiful things we have as Catholics. But one thing that I have found that just has really helps me and continues to help me to grow closer in my relationship with God, that God is a person, because I want my children to know. I think a lot of times the way we teach now, you know, we talk about the Bible, but we don't really tell them. For instance, just the other day, I was talking to my 8-year-old about how the Bible is many different books, because he's always asking me, well, did this really happen? Did this really happen? Like, especially in the Old Testament. And I told him, you know, the Bible is not just one book, it's many books, and it has all these different literary elements the writers use, just like good writers use. You know, there's poetry in the Psalms, and there's allegory, and then there's factual, like nonfiction, and just kind of having them, that's a way I've introduced the Bible to the younger ones, where they can read and kind of think about it and meditate about it. But then for my older ones, I journal and I'll write like letter. I'll say, Dear God, and I'll just talk to them what's on my heart. And I think it's so important. Kids used to keep regularly keep journals. Not all kids, but many more kids than they do today, especially girls. And I found that a lot of girls now, their journal is online, and that's performing. That's not living. I mean, it's very important for children to have some form of self-actualization, but that needs to happen in private, in a journal, not on Snapchat or whatever. So I really encourage my children to have that sort of personal relationship. And some like to write more than others, but like my 11-year-old and I, we have a book called Side by Side Journal, which is written by a Catholic mom that brings in the saints and things like that. And you kind of write, it has open-ended questions like, recount a time where you felt left out. What did you do about it? Things like that. But then it's the faith is marbled into it. So we're doing that sort of as an activity together. So I think that is a way of praying for her and a way of her praying for me and a way to introduce her to a different type of prayer, that sometimes it's just writing and talking and this conversation that you want to have, this personal intimacy with God is so important. And it can kind of get lost if you just go to Mass on Sunday and you just pray the rosary. All those things are beautiful, but I think that they blossom so much further if you have that personal relationship. And so I really do try and talk to my kids about that. I recently had one of my older children say to me that she was having some doubts, and I didn't chastise her at all. I said, you know what, sweetie, I've had some doubts too. And she was like, well, what can I do? And I actually wrote to her, because she's one of my children that responds better than me just yammering. And I wrote her a little thing of things that have helped me. And then I just told her, I said, this prayer has always helped me, just to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, help my unbelief. And she thanked me and said it helped. So I think that's important too, to not chastise our kids if they have questions, or if maybe if we think they're not praying the right way, or they're on a journey and we're there to help them, but we don't want to do that by chastisement or coercion. I mean, certainly when they're younger, we do need to coerce a little bit. I don't want to go to church. Well, we go to church as a family, that sort of thing. But yeah, I think that we have to just be very open to our children's questions and their unique temperaments. This is my more melancholic child who is going to kind of question things more. And I can understand that, because I'm on the temperament spectrum, I'm more melancholic too. Whereas my oldest, my sanguine, that's just always, oh, life is wonderful. She's going to be very good at the prayers of gratitude, because that just is where her heart kind of leans toward. So it's interesting to see that.
And those prayers of gratitude, boy, those are something that's an easy way to get kids to pray, I think. It's important that we teach them those rote prayers, that we teach them the Our Father, the Hail Mary, etc., and, certain nuggets out of Scripture, because those things we can always pull upon through life when we have those memorized. But for little kids to have that spontaneous prayer, they might have an easier time with that sometimes than adults who are trying to get back into a little more strong prayer life. And that idea that we can even start with prayers of gratitude. You get something good, yes, something goes well. Let's thank God, kids, for that.
Yeah, we don't do it every night, but a lot of times I'll say, okay, what were your three highs or three things you're grateful for? Especially for a while we were talking about the silver linings of quarantine, and we would each name one. And one of mine has been potty training was so easy because we never went anywhere. Usually it's
I've
really
not heard yet. That's awesome. We need more and more happy things in quarantine. Yeah, and now we can add that to the list.
Charlie potty trained in like 2 days and never, because we had been slowly starting to do it and it just wasn't going well because we were always on the go. And then, hasn't had an accident. It's amazing. I'm like, wow, thank you, quarantine. Because potty training, as many moms know, can be quite stressful. So that was, so saying that, and then, my kids saying things like, oh, well, I've had more time to draw, or, these things that they enjoy doing. But when we're super busy, more family, in family meal has certain happened more organically than me trying to logistically, like, no, you will be here. It's just sort of been able to happen organically lately. So there's been so many silver linings. And I think gratitude is such a thing that you can always find the good in any situation you're in. and just being grateful for just the simple things. You know, I mean, me sitting here with a hot cup of coffee, Charlie's sitting next to me, blinking his little eyes, you know, and he's very thankful for monster trucks lately because he's very into monster trucks. So just being thankful for all those little things, it's so important. And like you said, you can teach the littlest ones and they'll come up with some silly things too that you didn't even think that they really noticed, you know, like that they'll be thankful for. So yeah, that's a beautiful and easy way to pass down the prayer tradition to our children.
As we talk about praying for our kids with Kate Wicker this morning, and just about to wrap up here, Kate, but one of the most common prayer concerns we get here at Relevant Radio is from adults for their adult children, that they would come back to the church or that their struggles with different things in lives would ease a little bit. And it seems to be hard. You mentioned St. Monica earlier in that great example of continuing to pray for our adult children and look what can happen when the Lord answers in a certain way. But when we talk about as little kids with gratitude can so often kind of bring us around to having a little better attitude about prayer, a little better attitude toward God if things aren't going the way we think they ought to go as well. Can gratitude be something that older parents can, you know, lift up in prayer and thank the Lord for what they do have with their kids, even if they don't have their adult kids living that perfect Catholic life?
Oh, absolutely. You have to just, and you just never know what's going to happen. I think just being thankful, there's a really, really good book, and I have no like relation to this book at all, but I believe it's called The St. Monica's Club. But she talks about that, how some of her children strayed away from the faith, and she was so hyper-focused on that for a while. But then she realized that, you know what, they still came home for Christmas. She still had a relationship with them, and just finding those, again, those silver linings and just doing what she could to reveal God's love to her children and hope that they would see that and come back to the truth and to the church. So I think that definitely we have to be grateful for any little sliver of hope we can have, which I've certainly seen in my own family with, you know, my sibling that has struggled. And thank God, you know, he is starting to have a relationship with God. You know, he's not going to church regularly or anything, but, you know, that is something that we can be very, very grateful for, even though he's still struggling with things. There's that mustard seed to give thanks for every single day.